Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, I would like to invite you to stay with me. It's going to be a time of motivation, inspiration, education, and we'll do it without any manipulation. We don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to recruit you. We're not going to try to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you for anything. Our objective is simply to give you accurate information. Information that is our prayer will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you're able to do that, you have the freedom, you have the privacy, you can orient and adjust to the plan on your own. You don't need anyone to hold your hand. You don't need anyone to tell you what to do. But you do need a well-qualified pastor that can take the Word of God and explain it to you so you know what your options are. That's why you have a Bible. You have a guide. It's like a GPS tracking system. It guides you. It shows you where the danger places are. And if you learn it, metabolize it, that means apply it. If you learn it and apply it, you can have a most fantastic life, I assure you. We started a study here several weeks ago dealing with something that I called discontent, decline, and destruction. It all dealt with what's going on in Client Nation USA, our home, Client Nation USA. The objective of this study was to demonstrate how America, this great nation, has morphed into something that our founders could never even have imagined. After the great periods of revival that we experienced all the way from 1865 to the 1970s, it appears that now the enemy has regained an advantage, and that this client nation we know as America is on the edge of losing all direction and all purpose in history. The loss of an anchor point, the loss of what I call spiritual stability, has allowed preceding generations to stumble into the darkness of social mores. Mores are the shared habits or the characteristics of a group. So by means of social media, entertainment venues, Satan has successfully recruited millions of unassuming Americans. The question to be asked is, how did it happen? How did it happen so quick? Where were the institutions of truth? Where were the lights of His reflected glory? Did we just sit idly by and watch all of this go down? Or did we fail as believers to maintain a strong pivot, pivot being a core group of mature believers? Did we fail to do that and thus fail to stabilize the nation? So I want to present some answers today and maybe next Sunday as well, and ask you to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you exactly where you stand in this. I want to start this off today by talking about a metaphor in the Bible called the dirty dish metaphor. It's the metaphor of the dishes, and this comes out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy. This is an imagery. It's an illustration. It's representing two different categories of believers. Remember, if you think back, I told you about a problem that Timothy was having in the church, that two men had begun to teach false doctrine. Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching that the resurrection had already taken place. And they had successfully recruited people to believe that and had invaded the church and discouraged many people. So here is a metaphor of dishes. In a great house, and this could be the local church or it could be the universal church, but I'm going to say in a local church, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. Those are mature believers, well-qualified believers. But there are also vessels of wood and clay. These are the reversionist believers, the believers who have not pursued the spiritual life, the believers who are the casual Christians. They call them the nod to God crowd. Hello, God. Goodbye, God. See you next Sunday, God. They've never learned the mechanics of the Christian life. They play the game. They go through the ritual without any reality to it, and it's totally meaningless. They may, in fact, be dishes. They may, in fact, belong to the Master. They may, in fact, truly be born-again, saved individuals, but they are useless to the Master. Listen as I read it. In a great house, local church, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, that's mature believers, but also of wood and clay. Those are the backslidden, reversionistic believers. Some for honor, that's reward, and some for dishonor, that's discipline. Verse 21, 2 Timothy 2. Therefore, if anyone will purge himself or cleanse himself from the latter being what? Well, the latter being what he talked about earlier in the passage that we studied. It's the sin of iniquity. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:19. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what the latter is referring to, L-A-T-T-E-R, not ladder like you climb, but a thing we referenced before. We had a mandate to depart, an aorist active imperative of the word apostasy, and that meant to flee, to remove. And what are we talking about? Are we talking about sin? No. We're not talking about drunkenness. We're not talking about fornicating. We're not talking about stealing. We are talking about false doctrine that infiltrated the church. You are mandated to remove yourself from that. When you hear it, get away from it. Do not ever blend your spiritual life with the world. And never bend your principles. Run quickly. Get away. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Remember this, you're swimming with sharks when you party with lost people because you have no common ground of thought. And so, it doesn't mean you shouldn't have lost friends. That means that if you're spending all your time with lost people and you're not sharing the gospel with them, or if you're spending all your time with backsliders, reversionists, people that are not progressing in spiritual life, you're asking for trouble. So come out, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And it's the word adikia in the Greek New Testament. Adikia. It means those things that are spiritually or morally wrong. And Jude warned about this in Jude verse 4, where some people had turned the grace of God into lewdness, or asagalia is the Greek word. And this meant that they were taking the opportunity to invade churches and take advantage of people. So when this verse says you are to depart from iniquity, it requires you to use your very own volition to reject the temptation. 2 John verse 8, look to yourself so that you do not lose the things you've worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. The temptation in this passage is a temptation designed to distract you and lure you away from becoming a mature believer before you can have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question I'd like to ask you is, what lured you away from sound doctrine? How did you handle the bait that got cast your way? Did you bite? Did you get hooked? You know, it's interesting, but not all the fish that I hook get caught. Some fish get away when I'm fishing. So how do you get away if you're hooked? Jude verse 17 says this, remember or recall the words, the basic doctrines that you learned. Remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles. In other words, if you're hearing something that was not taught before, it's something different, something someone has come up with, and it's led you away from sound doctrine, you must make a decision to either leave it or stay in it. If you want to be a useful vessel in the Master's house, he must be able to trust you. He must be able to trust you to attend to matters of interest for him. And that's why 2 Timothy 2:19 says the Lord knows the ones that are his. In other words, he has an accounting system in heaven. It includes recognition. It includes approval and promotion in due time. So in 1 Peter 5:6, in due time, he will promote you. And that means when you have the capacity. So Jude tells you how to get out of this false doctrine, how to get out of the iniquity that you've been caught with. He says in verse 20 through verse 23, build yourself up in the faith. Pray under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Maintain your personal love for God, demonstrated by obedience to His Word. Take advantage of God's mercy, that is, rebound, confess it, and have compassion on some, but you must separate from others. So the metaphor of the dishes means this. A local church is heterogeneous, means it's diverse in character. You may be in the church, but you might not be useful for the Master. So if a man will purge himself, that means recognize what's happened. If he will rebound and resume, then he will be a vessel fit for honor. Sanctified, that means you'll be set apart. Remember, sanctification is positional sanctification when you get saved, experiential sanctification during the days of your Christian life when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then permanent sanctification. This is when you go to heaven. So there are three stages of sanctification: positional, experiential, and permanent. And if you're going to be sanctified, this means experientially. How do I know that? Useful for the Master. We're not talking about in heaven. We're talking about while you're here on this earth. Prepared for every divine good production. That is, so the Master can reward you. So here's some principles. The vessels of dishonor are those who left the truth and no longer have the Master's interests at heart. Two, the useless believer does not keep his lamp lit, nor does he look for the Master's return. Now, I'm taking that from Luke 12:35, where Jesus used the parable of the master and the slaves that didn't keep the lamps burning. And he left and he came back and he found them not paying attention. Listen, a lamp needs oil, and that's the Holy Spirit. And if you want to keep that thing burning, you have to trim the wick every now and then. That means stay out of the details in life. So point three, a useless believer has no impact in the devil's world. Listen to Luke 12:47. And the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do it according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. That's divine discipline. And listen to verse 48 of Luke 12. The more you know, the more responsibility you have. Man, so if anyone will purge himself, that's a subjunctive mood verb. It means maybe you will and maybe you won't. But if you want to purge yourself of the iniquity, the false doctrine, being trapped in this, then you do it by recognizing it's wrong, rejecting it, and rebounding it, and resume your spiritual life. You have potential. And it depends on you recognizing the issue and recognizing and rejecting it and rebounding. So there are no magical solutions to using your volition. You just say yes or no. Nobody's perfect. When you make a mistake, get up, move on. But if you will prepare yourself, purge yourself from the latter, from those things we mentioned, the iniquity, then he will be prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. This refers to the point when the action is complete. Listen, this is not like just confessing a sin where you do it moment by moment. This purging is a volitional decision to recover and stay recovered. We know that from the participle of this verb. This is something that you must do to be prepared for the Master's use, ready to assume the task he gives you. So every believer who chooses to advance under a well-qualified pastor will face a test like this sooner or later. Satan sooner or later will try to hook you and get you into something else. Listen to John 10:11-13. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, that's the word misthotos, a hireling. Now there's some words in the Bible like a doulos, a slave, or a diakonos, a servant. But this is a misthotos, it's a hireling. He who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, this verse says. John 10:11-13. If he sees the wolf coming, he will leave the sheep and flee, and the wolf will catch the sheep and scatter them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jesus said these words, and this is what he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I will be known by my sheep. So the principle is this. If you leave a man who invested his life in you by studying and teaching God's word faithfully for years, and you are hooked by the hireling who has no vested interest in your soul, don't complain when you get hung out to dry or you are eaten alive by the wolves. Do not allow yourself to get under a hireling. You can be under a doulos, you can be under a diakonos, but you do not want to be under a misthotos. In Colossians 3:24, bond servants, Paul speaks here, those that are owned, legitimate slaves in those days, slaves that were in the church. Bond servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with service as in men pleasers, not just eye service, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. Eye service means you work only when the master's looking. If the master's gone, you take a break and party. That's a bad move. And so the question I started out asking is, are you useful for the master or are you useless? How would you know? Well, all the dishes in the house belong to the master, but there's a distinction between the material. How can God use an unprepared vessel? God would not set a vessel of wood or clay in front of an important guest. The materials used are gold, silver, wood, and clay. The distinction is that some of these are used for honor and some for dishonor. You're not going to feed your dog out of a gold vessel or a silver vessel, but you may give them the wooden or the clay bowl. So I have a question to ask you. Are you being used to feed the dog? Are you the dog bowl? Can the master not trust you because you went after a hireling? You sold out. You left the one that taught you, fed you, established you, grounded you. And away you went. The issue was contamination with iniquity. Remember the passage. In that context, contamination with iniquity. Lack of grace orientation will contaminate the dish. Looking back onto the warning in 2 Timothy 2:14, before we got to that thing about Hymenaeus and Philetus, he said this, words of no profit that led to ruin. Those are twisted doctrines. Convoluted concepts, distortions of the spiritual life, and it says they lead to catastrophe, ruin. It means they pull down the believer's faith by confusing him, getting him distorted. If you're going to be his representative, if you're going to have the master's interest at heart, then you have to be able to speak to the prophet of the hearer. That's what's critical. And so we had that passage, if a man purge himself, pull away from, make a decision to leave, then he will be fit for the master's use. That takes humility. You know, here's the problem. Most people don't have the guts to say I was wrong. Most people don't have the guts to say I was wrong, to admit it. Once they go down a road so far, they just won't turn around. The contaminant here that Paul spoke to Timothy about was the false doctrine taught by these two men that discouraged people. And I want to remind you, the master did not leave you here so you could divide his house or divide his servants. So if his servants or his house has been divided, it didn't come from the master. I could read you letters from certain individuals, but only God can handle that stuff. He knows, you know. 1 Peter 1:22 says, you purify your soul when you obey the truth. The key to removing any contaminant in your life, is to recognize, rebound, and remove yourself. Remember that word depart in 2 Timothy 2:19 is an imperative mood command, so you've got to make your mind up. It's your choice. It's your decision. Either you recognize it and leave it by means of rebound or avoidance, or you're going to be caught in Satan's fishing net. And I have news for you. Satan goes fishing every day. There's a TV show about car racers who race an old beat-up pickup truck, and they say they're going fishing. And they'll go out into these neighborhoods where these guys have these sleek, fast cars, and they'll get them to gamble on whether or not that fast car will outrun this old pickup truck. But the problem is that old pickup truck has about a 1,000-horsepower motor under the hood, and they win every time. Satan is fishing every day. And if you bite, you're a sucker. In 2 Timothy 2:21, flee from the latter. Get away from those things. Disassociate from those goofballs of Hymenaeus and Philetus. Disinfect your hands. Paul called them a canker. Actually, he called them gangrene. He did. Gangrene, an eating sore, spreading corruption and producing mortification. Vine's Expository Dictionary says it's an aorist. E-R-R-O-R-I-S-T. An aorist is a person who pretends to give spiritual food, but produces gangrene that will divide the body and eat off parts of the body if it's not stopped. Now, nobody wants to be around someone who's infected, except the uninformed believer, who may be seeking to gain attention, seeking to have some recognition. See, that's why people do some of this stuff. So that's what the vessel said, the vessel of honor. 2 Timothy 2:21, the vessel of honor. That's the metaphor for a chosen instrument, a man of quality, the man of gold or silver. Honor, Time in the Greek New Testament. He's a faithful servant. He's sanctified. He's set apart for the master's use. So I go back to the question. Are you useful or are you useless? You don't want to know what you want to know what it all depends on? It all depends on what you believe. You're representing the master's interest. You are representing the master's interest. You are watching over the master's house. What do you believe? Is your light burning? Are you looking for the master? Jude 4 warns these people. He gives a strong warning to Jewish believers that they are to contend earnestly for the faith, that they are to stay on track. They are not to get lured astray with an appeal to arrogance. You cannot afford to let that happen. You can never compromise with the world, and you can never compromise with false doctrine in the church. Never compromise for cultural relevancy, and never compromise just so you will be accepted. It's important you know this. It's important you understand this. Goodbye, America. Where are you? We've gone so far down the road because these very principles that I'm teaching to you. It's so evident that national destruction may be coming. It may be coming. We have been lulled to sleep with years of prosperity, easy living. Typical American teenager that I meet today has been recruited by the cosmic system, by means of the social media and even the drug culture and other cultures as well. That means that there are no norms and standards in their lives. Their parents quit teaching them the Bible. The schools don't ever mention the Bible anymore. And norms and standards, those things that are supposed to keep us strong in our conscience, norms and standards, norms, things you say, no, standards, no, I'm not going to do that. They're gone. They are not there anymore. And so you know as well as I know, based on that type of thinking in the young generation today, that the culture has compromised their life. And we can't continue on the course we're going. We're going to crash on the rocks of divine discipline in this nation. You see, a client nation like the United States of America is a national entity under the patronage of God. We have been assigned the responsibility for the formation, the preservation, the communication, and the fulfillment of the canon of Scripture. And we're failing. And we're in trouble. It's inevitable. The enemy would seek to regain that which he lost over the last 63 years of the teaching of the Word of God. How did he do it? Well, first of all, he seeks to divide and conquer. He seeks to cut out people out of the herd. He rustles people in the middle of the night. And people are recruited by several different agencies. And if you're not careful, you're going to be recruited also. That's why Jude says you must contend earnestly for the faith and avoid those who slipped into the house at night. Men you trusted, men you put your trust in, who had a different motive, and they hooked you. Well, the challenge I need to get on into next week, because I want to show you six things to watch for that are indications of national destruction. And six things you can do as we go through it. I hope you'll stay with me. I hope you'll stay tuned. I hope I haven't confused you. I hope this has convicted you and made sense to you. That's my prayer. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.